Do you know why pay-per-view broadcasts of prize fights and some other major sporting events are able to charge incredible amounts of money for a few hours of conflict up close? I suspect it's our hunger for a clear win-lose narrative, at least in part. But I don't think it's particularly healthy for us as a society to have everything, absolutely everything, that the mainstream media brings into our homes reduced to boxing match type coverage. And yet it seems to be happening more and more. So far this year, it's been about the fiscal cliff, the upcoming debt ceiling negotiations, President Obama's cabinet nominees, and lots more. Not 2 weeks into the new year, I want to take a step back and look for something beyond short-term conflicts, wins, and losses. And a favorite guest for that kind of insight is always Rabbi Irwin Kula, president of CLOWL, the National Jewish Center for Learning and Leadership in New York City. Irwin, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Hi, great to be here, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, same to you. Okay, I started the segment with some pretty dark stuff. You were listening. I know you're optimistic, though we haven't talked about it, and so I want to know what makes you optimistic as we start this new year.
Hi, well, first, I was loved very much by my parents, so I guess, you know, that's it starts right there, that I fundamentally have an optimistic view of the world, okay? Second, I think that if you have any kind of whatever we mean by spiritual or faithful outlook, whatever, it's hard to be a pessimistic person because, you know, it's a long-term story. And there's something about pessimism, especially by baby boomers and even a little older than baby boomers, there's something about pessimism that strikes me to be a touch arrogant and hubris.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we step back, many of us who are pessimistic and a touch cynical, we have it better than any group of people in the history of the planet. So the first thing, it seems to me, is to take a deep breath and say, okay, we got some government malfunction here. Yes, we have very significant problems. We have global problems. But if you're a faithful person, in the scheme of things, and if, by the way, if you're a liberal person, in the scheme of things, things do get better, and they are getting better. It doesn't mean it's linear. Sometimes it's one step back.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me, when in history you would rather live, okay? Does that mean that we should be where we are in mortality in the United States of America? No. Does that mean that we shouldn't have a better educational system in America? No. Do we have equal distribution of wealth problems and equality of opportunity problems in America? Yes. Okay? But we have to be careful not to confuse very significant problems with a kind of pessimistic worldview.
Irwin, I'm curious. I know that perspective is inherent in your faith tradition. It is a part of my faith tradition. Do you see much of that perspective outside the tradition of faith?
Oh, I see. I think very serious, sober humanists who say, look at the human experience since the beginning of time, and look how human beings have evolved. Look at the complexity and capacity for altruism and compassion. I mean, for most of history, people only cared about their tribe. Mm-hmm. They didn't extend in their compassionate circle beyond tribe. Now, we may have a problem the media doesn't cover it as much, but look how many people across their family kinship ties, across their tribal ties, are willing to help and out of a sense of connection and compassion. All you need to do is look at when there's trauma in this country. Now, it shouldn't take trauma, but that's the first stage. Why should I care about anything that's happening in Haiti? Why should I care about anything that's happening 20 miles from here in Staten Island, where I live?
Mm-hmm.
They're not my family. They're not my nuclear family. They're barely my extended family. But there's something that has happened in the development of human consciousness and human awareness awareness that makes me aware that somehow they are in my family and I have some obligation to them. So if you're a humanist and who senses the evolution of the human spirit, the human, and I don't mean spirit here in a religious sense, the human character, the psychological and emotional development of human beings is towards greater and greater compassion. Look what we have.
Yeah.
Look what we have. So I think that it's very important when we get scared and fearful and sad and depressed to take a little perspective. I mean, that's why we need Sabbaths. I don't mean a Sabbath of a literal Sabbath necessary in any faith tradition, but a Sabbath is a moment in saying, "Whoa, creation's a hell of a gift, and we've been evolving, and as difficult as life is, it's probably never been better for more people than ever."
Do you think that as a community we had the opportunity to learn something important last year, and did we miss that opportunity?
I think we're all learning different things at different points. I mean, amongst the things that I think were most important that we did learn was one in relation to the hurricane here in New York, and I can, having been here, I think that the response of the country and the response of New Yorkers and Connecticut and the tri-state area, I think then again we saw how the human spirit is incredibly resilient. I mean, people went out and cleaned other people's homes and people housed. I know even us did the little bit that my daughter had friends in the East Village, and they had to sleep at our house, and people opened up their homes. So I think we learned that. I think things we haven't learned, I think we need to have more civil discourse in our political debate. But that's less about our politicians and more about us. When we stop watching Fox or watching MSNBC simply so that we can feel triumphant about our own views, and we actually start trying to talk seriously to people with whom we deeply disagree and try to understand why they feel what they do and fear what they do and hope what they do, we'll have a better body politic. So I think we that's something we have not learned well enough yet, but hopefully we will. Hopefully we will engage political class that will actually challenge us rather than simply tell us what we know already. We know we can't have everything. There are scarce resources. What are we going to do? We know it's not right to have a military that equals the top 10 militaries of every other country, but what are we going to do? And let's be honest about it. My God, the teachers' unions in California had major positions in guns that they just had to actually divest themselves of. So, everybody has to begin critiquing themselves more than they critique the other. I think that's the best way to learn right now.
I know you talk with a lot of people. You talk with congregations. You talk with individuals. This year, as we have moved into 2013, what has been your primary message for the months ahead?
My primary message is we have to begin to do self-critique and listening to the other for the partial truth of that person's position. And that's on everything. We're simply going to have to do that. Otherwise, we wind up in these ideological debates. Assault weapons, versus no assault weapons, right? The real issue is we're going to have to speak. We have a lot of different kinds of people in this country. People on the left are going to have to ask, not the person who's using assault weapons to kill people, but what is it that those people who hold those assault weapons are thinking and feeling? The good people in them, the good people on the other side of any issue. It's so easy to take an issue we disagree with and to speak to and to listen to only the people who are most crazy on that view. And that's what we have to stop doing. We have to start really listening carefully to the smartest people who can share what it is they think and feel on the positions we most deeply disagree with.
And that is a matter of intentionality, isn't it? I mean, that is a matter of self-will to create that reality.
Absolutely. I think that it's the single most important act of empowerment that we can do as Americans right now. And that's all that's within our families, all the way into our body politic, because we have a lot of our unfortunately, our political leadership, for a variety of reasons, is right now stymied into ideological sides. And so we're going to have to own that. We have exactly the leadership we want. In fact, there is a case to be made that we don't have gridlock. Mm-hmm. The majority of Americans actually have conservative predispositions. And so we have a government that continues to move a touch conservative, right? We're getting the government that we want, and we're getting exactly, but there turns out to be something else. At the same time that we have conservative predispositions, we want government that operationalizes itself, very often liberal. So we actually want a government that takes care of people. We want a government in which Medicare is not stripped away. We want a government in which schools are run well. We want a government in which we get all those services, operationally a liberal government. A bigger government, but we have a conservative preference, right, philosophically. And right now we're being taken advantage by politicians on all sides on that. And so what we're going to have to own is, what does it mean to marry a conservative predisposition, which very often is a healthy predisposition, to move slowly, to be careful in the classic way of being conservative, right, with a more liberal kind of predisposition that we do want to take care of people. Mm-hmm. We do want a country that's safe for our children.
Yeah.
Now, how to marry those two things? The only way we'll do that is to be listening very carefully to the smartest people on the other side.
Well, and you know and I know that we, and I'm putting myself in that we, are not real great at self-evaluation.
Yeah, well, I think the part of the issue is that there's deep within us, we have a sense that even our positions, especially our positions that we're most ferocious about and most fierce about, somewhere deep down on processes, we're not sure that they're 100% right.
Yeah.
And that's on every issue.
Yeah.
You know,
I think one of the healthiest things that's happened to me in a long time is I had a chance not long ago to visit with he's not a close acquaintance, but a good guy, very liberal in his thoughts. And after our conversation went on a bit, to my great surprise, he looked me straight in the face and he said, "Welton, what if we're wrong?"
Right. Exactly. I think that's a brilliant person. That's what we need to ask. You know, what if I'm wrong? Not wrong 100%. No one's so smart that they can be wrong 100%. But what if I'm wrong?
Yeah.
What if I'm wrong?
Well, listen.
Every so often. But we need leadership. We need religious leadership to say that. We need political leadership to say that. We need financial leadership to say that. We need the media. It would be great every so often for media to say, you know, we want 100% freedom of the press, freedom of expression. But, you know, what if actually this isn't something I should... This isn't something. Mm-hmm. This isn't the film I should make, right? Not that somebody against the film should say you're not allowed to make that film. That's never happening in this country because freedom is so inherent in the system. But with freedom, that means people have to take a kind of personal responsibility—not just the conservative understanding of personal responsibility, but a personal responsibility that everything we do affects the body politic.
Well. Well, listen. Not as if you need to, but is there anything else important on your mind that you need to share with us for this coming year?
Look, I think that we have a year in which, here's a political hope, and I guess it's a psycho-spiritual, psychosocial hope too, and that we do have a year in which there are no elections, okay? No dramatic elections, okay? 2013, 2014, we'll have the midterms again, and then we're already running for president. Maybe we can just take a breath from the politicizing of everything, and it's a little easier then to learn about positions that we don't know about. Mm. And it's just a little easier if we don't politicize right away. I would urge everybody to get a magazine or journal from a political persuasion or a religious persuasion that they haven't, to watch a documentary of something and to say, what is the partial truth here? Maybe we can use 2013 to just grow a little bit more in our understanding of what it will be to be, you know, United States of America as part of a larger global planet.
That's why we call this rabbi regularly. Rabbi Irwin Kula is president of CLOWL, the National Jewish Center for Learning and Leadership. He's the author of the book, Yearnings, Embracing the Sacred Messiness of Life. It's always, always, without exception, great talking to you, and I thank you for sharing your thoughts with us today on State of Belief Radio, and you have helped us know a good direction to go in this year. Thank you, Irwin.
Thank you so much, and be well.